Thank you very much to all of you for the very nice japa session. And Shyamagauri Mataji, thank you so much for the opportunity. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudire Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankajanabhaya Nama Pankajamaline Nama Pankajanetraya Namaste Pankajanjaye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I hope all of you can listen to me very clearly. I hope continuing on with the Nectarian Mellow of Sri Gopi Gita, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 31, entitled The Gopi Songs of Separation, Text 19. Yate Sujata Charanam Buruham Saneshu Gita Shanai Priyadati Mahikarkasheshu Tenata Vimata Sitan Vyathatena Kim Svet Purva Dibhir Dhamadidhir Translation. O dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently on our breast, fearing that your feet will be hurt. Our life rests only in you. Our minds, therefore, are filled with anxiety that your tender feet may be wounded by pebbles as you roam about on the forest path. Om Gyanatimiram Sitya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Litamena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Pudaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanasvamiti Namane Nama Om Vishnu Pudaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swamiti Namane Nama Acharya Pataya Nitai Kripa Pradayane Gora Katha Thambadaya Nagarindaya Matarini Nama Vishnu Pradaya Krishna Krishna Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swamini Tilamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shuni Vadika Chatya Desha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vanda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So today, we are at the conclusion of Sri Gopi Gita. This is the last verse that the gopis are reciting to Krishna. And as the conclusion always, when we say a conclusion, it is like a summary of the entire, conversation that we have. You know, it's like concluding. When we conclude something, he say some highlights, you know, from the entire conversation. So that is the way we conclude any conversation. That is normal for any conversation whenever we, you know, give a speech or whenever there is any kind of a lecture, anything like that. The concluding statement is always the highlight of whatever was there in the conversation. So here, the gopis are doing the exact same thing. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, can you hear me?
Yes. Yes, it's very clear.
Okay.
So Hare Krishna Mataji, very clear.
Okay, thank you. So the gopis are doing the exact same thing, that they are giving the conclusion here in this last and final verse of Sri Gopi Gita. Here the gopis are saying that Yatte Sujata Charanam Guruham Saneshu. By saying Sujata, they are actually remembering the very first verse. The second verse, actually, the second verse of the Gopi Gita is Sharad Dasaye Sadhu Jata Sat, where the gopis are talking about that they are comparing Krishna to that beautiful lotus flower. Now, when Krishna is compared to the lotus flower, it is not just any lotus flower that Krishna is compared to. The gopis are saying that in the Sharad Ritu, in the beautiful of all seasons, which is the autumn season, the lotus that forms in the pond is of a very, very high quality, very high class. It is sadhu jata. Sadhu jata means that it is of a very, very, very high class. Jata means caste, and sadhu jata means of, you know, saintly qualities, of the saintly, mode that this lotus flower blooms. So that is compared to Krishna. That beauty of that lotus flower is incomparable. The beauty, the fragrance of that lotus flower that blooms in the autumn season, that is beyond comparison to any other regular lotus flower that blooms in any other season. So the gopis are comparing Krishna to that beautiful, fragrant lotus flower. And therefore, the gopis are now, in this text 19, they're remembering that Krishna, remember, we compared you to that lotus flower, that beauty of that lotus flower. Because Sujata, again, Sujata. Jata, again, means, the breed or, you know, the kind. So, you know, it's of a very fine, you know, you are belonging to the most elite group or, you know, in beauty, in fragrance. You are incomparable. Your jata is beyond comparison. That is what the gopis are saying. It is extremely beautiful what you are. So by just saying this one word, sujata, they are remembering this first few verses that the gopis described when they were talking to Krishna. And they are saying that lotus seed, what is it doing? It is actually roaming around in the forest. Tena tavim atasita vyathatena kimswit, which means that Krishna, when you are actually roaming around in the forest, you know, and you are going behind the animals, the trinacharanugas, because Krishna is a trinacharanuga. He doesn't call, you know, Anuga. Anuga means follower. We call ourselves Rupanuga, right? We are Rupanugas because we are followers of Srila Rupa Goswami Pad. We call ourselves Gaudiya Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada taught us that we call ourselves Rupanugas. And Srila Prabhupada's disciple came up with another very beautiful connotation for calling us as Srila Prabhupada Nugas, that we are followers of Srila Prabhupada, that whatever Srila Prabhupada has taught us, we follow that. So therefore, we are followers of Srila Prabhupada. So we are Prabhupada Nuga. But who is Krishna? Who does Krishna follow? Krishna follows the Trinacharanuga. He is the Trinachar, you know, the Trinachar means, Trina means grass, Char means those who eat the grass. So the animals that eat the grass, like the cows, Krishna is follower of the cow, the Trinachar. So how does Krishna follow the Trinachar when he is in the forest? Krishna does not walk in front of them. Krishna walks behind them. He lets the animals go in the front, the cows and the little goats, they all go in the front. And when they walk in the front, they keep nibbling on the grass. The soft grass of Sri Vrindavan Dham, so lush green, so soft. The grass is, you know, so tasty and delicious for these animals. They can't stop but not eat. You know, they just keep eating on this juicy, succulent grass that is so appealing to them. And when they eat this grass, what is left behind is the root of the grass, which is very, very hard. So it is very, very hard for Krishna to step on. When the animals, they eat the grass, and when they go out in the front, that time when Krishna walks, by the time that Krishna walks behind the animals, Krishna's lotus feet is actually stepping on the half-eaten grass, which is the hard root of the grass. And Krishna's, you know, when we walk on that root, you know, of the grass, it is actually extremely painful. It is very, very painful for the feet. So imagine Krishna's lotus feet. It is so soft, like the tender lotus, you know, flower. And Krishna's tender, like lotus feet, is stepping on this half-eaten grass on the root. And imagine the kind of pain that Krishna is going through. So the gopis are imagining that kind of pain. The pain that Krishna is going through, you know, is the disease that they're talking about, that they are inflicted with. So what is the disease that, you remember the last verse, text 18, when we read that the gopis are talking about a disease that they are afflicted by. The disease that they are afflicted by is that Krishna has disappeared from their heart, that is, or from their vision, that Krishna has disappeared, that is one. The second is that they are feeling extreme pain by thinking that Krishna's lotus feet is in so much of pain by walking on this grass, this half-eaten grass in the forest bed. That is what is the one thing that is piercing the gopis' hearts. They are not able to get over this, that this is the most important conclusion that the gopis are giving in this Gopi Gita, that Krishna, we cannot forget, we are not able to forget this disease that you are inflicting upon us, this pain that you are giving us, the pain that you are feeling when you are walking on this half-eaten grass, and how much pain your lotus feet is undergoing when you are walking on that grass. So the gopis say, you know, Krishna hears this very lovingly. He hears it, that, okay, you are saying that my lotus feet is in pain, and you are saying that, yes, I am following the Trinachar in the forest, and that's how I'm getting so much pain. And the gopis say, yes, they are remembering text 7 of Sri Gopi Gita, where they are saying, Pranata dehina tvapakarshanam trinacharanugam shriniketanam halikanarpitam tre padambujam The gopis are saying, your lotus feet destroy the past sins of all embodied souls who surrender to them. Those feet follow after the cows in the pastures and are the eternal abode of the goddess of fortune. Since you once put those feet on the hooves of the great serpent Kaliya, please place them upon our breasts and tear away the lust in our heart. So the gopis are saying that, hey Krishna, yes, this is the greatest pain that you are inflicting upon us. That just by remembering that how you are following the cows, it is paining our heart. It is very much painful to our heart that, you know, how your lotus feet is in so much of pain. So Krishna says, okay, I understand that, that you all are in pain. So what is the way that I can release you from this disease, from this pain? What is the medicine that you want? And the medicine that the gopis' request is charana ambuja charanam buruham staneshu. Your charanam buruha, your charanam buja means your lotus-like feet. Where should you put it? Put it on our chest. Krishna, please, that is the way that, you know, we can relieve you from this pain. And you are undergoing so much of pain and that has become a disease for us. So the medicine that can counteract this disease, O Krishna, is only when you place those two lotus-like lotus feet upon our breast. That is the only way that we can be free from this disease. That is the medicine that we crave for. So the gopis are continuing to say that, Krishna, you are our very life. That when you're lotus feet, it's not just stepping on grass, half-eaten grass, but it is also stepping on little stones. You know, in the forest bed, there's not just grass, half-eaten grass, but there's also small, tiny pebbles, tiny stones that, you know, when the stone is crushed, you know, like Sri Giriraj, Giriraj's stones are not so piercing because they are like shilas. They are, you know, big boulders. But if that, you know, if you take a stone and if you step on it, it is not so painful, a big stone. It is not so painful. But if that stone is crushed and made into small pieces, then the pieces become very sharp and pointy. And that's when they pierce the feet very badly. You know, so that is what the gopis are saying, that when your lotus feet is, you know, falling on the road, which is having small stones on the forest road, that time our mind just becomes very, very agitated, O Krishna. And, you know, we just don't know what we can do. We become so afraid. That thought that your lotus feet is so much in pain is a cause of great fear to us. So we are requesting you, O Kanha, that please you counteract this disease that we are undergoing by just simply placing your lotus feet on our chest. That is the way we can really free ourselves from this, you know, the disease that we are afflicted by, because the only way that we can get free from this disease is when you put your lotus feet on our chest. So even in text 7, we notice that the gopis are requesting the same thing of Krishna when they are saying, pranata dehinam papa karshanam, that your lotus feet, they are so powerful that they have the potency of, you know, attracting all papa, all sinful activities. Papa akarshanam. Akarshanam. So akarshan means to attract or to, you know, to remove, you know, to just take away. So when we say Krishna, Krishna also means one who pulls us away from material enjoyment, material suffering. Krishna pulls us from material and places us in the spiritual realm. That is the meaning of Krishna, one who captures, one who pulls away, one who takes away, one who removes us. So karshana, akarshana means to remove or to attract. That is why Krishna's name means the all-attractive. He's like a magnet that just attracts our iron-like heart. So similarly, the gopis are actually saying here that Krishna's lotus feet is the greatest medicine because it has the potency of papa akarshana to attract all of the sinful reactions. Imagine how much the gopis have this faith in the lotus feet of Krishna. When we take darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our respective temples, or when we see Krishna even in just a picture, when we look at his lotus feet, do we feel this, that yes, this lotus feet has the potency of attracting all sinful reactions? We should, you know, be in this consciousness that whenever we see the lotus feet of Krishna, we should remember this glorification of the gopis. That the gopis are saying that Krishna's lotus feet are having the potency of attracting the minds of the most sinful. Like us, we are the most fallen, most sinful. So we are perfect candidate. If we are looking at Krishna's lotus feet, we are the perfect candidate for that mercy, if we ask for it. If we are looking at Krishna's lotus feet in this mood, then we will get that same benefit, we will get that same mercy. We will be able to counteract the disease that we are going through because this is the medicine, taking darshan of Krishna's lotus feet. And the gopis are saying this, you are a Trinacharanuga. You are the follower of the Trinachar, of the cows and the other animals that you go out to graze, O Krishna. But that same lotus feet is the abode of Lakshmi Devi. Sri Niketanam. Niketanam means, Niketa means house or the abode. And Sri is Lakshmi Devi. Why is it Sri Niketanam? Because Lakshmi Devi is always in her constitutional position of rendering Pada Sevanam to that same lotus feet. She has achieved perfection by doing the seva of Pada Sevanam, of serving the lotus feet. There's no one in this entire creation who serves the lotus feet of the Lord better than Sri Lakshmi Devi. So Pada Sevanam is Lakshmi Devi. She is the perfectionist in Pada Sevanam. And therefore the gopis are saying that in connection to the lotus feet of Krishna, then Lakshmi Devi is the one who has her abode in your lotus feet, O Krishna. It is Sri Niketanam. It is the abode of Sri Lakshmi Devi. What is the abode? Your lotus feet is her home. And the third line, the gopis are saying, Pani Panar Pitam Te Padam Bujam. Te means your lotus feet. Pada Ambujam. Pada Ambujam means lotus feet. So your lotus feet, what did you do, O Krishna? You have offered Pani Pana Arpitam. Arpitam means arpan karna, means to offer. You have offered your lotus feet to phani. Phani means kaliya. Phani ke phan ke upar, when you danced on the hoods of kaliya, kaliya actually didn't ask for you. Kaliya was in fact very envious of you. You were fighting with kaliya. He was poisoning the entire lake of Jamuna, and he was killing the cows and the calves and the little cowherd boys who were coming to drink the waters of the Jamuna, because the waters were so poisoned around Kaliadaha. So So that is the reason why, to save the Brajavasis, you jumped into this Kaliyadaha, and you were actually, you were just, you know, fighting with Kaliya. You were fighting. You were literally pounding him. You were doing so many things to him. So when you were fighting with Kaliya, Kaliya was also fighting back at you. He, from his, you know, mouth, he was emanating fire. He was trying to bite you. He was trying to do so many things to you. So, but what did you start doing then? You just climbed on his hood and you started dancing on his hood. You just offered your lotus feet to him. He did not ask for it. So the reason why Krishna offered his lotus feet to Kaliya, there's a very beautiful pastime to this, and I believe I might have told this before, but just for my own purification, I would like to share it again. And there's a very special pastime which I heard this time only from His Holiness Radharaman Maharaj. And it was a very special, very, very special pastime. And Maharaj was saying this pastime during the Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. And he said that the story of Kaliya, that why he became Kaliya, is a very special pastime. Maharaj mentioned that there was once a king, and this king had a very, very bad, you know, very, very bad disease of the stomach, you know, very loose stomach. And he would be so much distressed with this disease that, you know, even in the middle of his court sessions, it was uncontrollable. He had just, you know, rushed to the restroom every now and then. He had a very, very bad stomach problem, very bad stomach problem. And he was having a lot of issues with that. And one day, Narad Muni, he came to visit this particular king, and Narad Muni said that, you know, I have come, and the king was very grateful. The king actually washed the lotus feet of Narad Muni, and they were starting to take prasad together. But then immediately the king had to answer nature call again, and he had to rush away, and then, you know, he had to go back and forth. So Narad Muni asked him that, what is wrong with you? What happened? So then the king, you know, explained to Narad Muni that this is what happened, that I have this disease, you know, that very bad stomach I have. It's a very, very bad loose stomach that I have. And then Narad Muni felt very compassionate upon this king, and he said, and my dear king, I will give you a solution for this. The solution will take long, but it will be very purificatory for you. And at the end of this entire episode, you will become free from your disease. You will become free. So the king said, yes, my dear Narad Muni, please, please tell me, what is the way that I can get rid of this disease? I will do anything. So then Narad Muni said, okay, you should go out to the outskirts of the kingdom where you live, and in the forest, there is a kind of, one kind of a special breed of bird, which is called Kulinga bird. And those birds are very special, you know, so you have to actually catch those birds yourself, and then you have to cook them and then eat that. When you eat those birds, then your disease will go away. It is very gross, you know. And Narad Muni, for Narad Muni, a personality like Narad Muni, to give this kind of a, you know, remedy was unheard of. It was first time that Narad Muni was telling to harm another living entity. But nonetheless, this king had faith in the words of Narad Muni, and Narad Muni had said that this is a long process, and in the end, you will be satisfied. So just by having that faith in the words of Narad Muni, this king went to the forest, and he and Narad Muni had instructed that you only have to catch. Nobody can help you. So then Narad Muni, this king was trying to catch these birds, but it's never easy to catch the birds, right? I mean, even any regular birds, it's impossible to catch them. You know, you have to lay a net, you have to do so many things to catch birds. It's very, very difficult because they have the tendency to fly away. So, and Narad Muni had said that you have to catch them with your bare hands. You cannot use a net, you cannot use anything else. You have to catch them live, you know, alive. You have to catch them. Not that you kill them first and then you catch them. No, you have to catch them alive and then you have to cook them and eat them. So this king was unable to do that. Then one of his ministers told the king that, yes, my dear king, we see that you are struggling. Every day you are going to the forest, but you're not coming back with the birds. So, you know, what you can do is wear on the dress of a sadhu. Wear the dress of a sadhu and, you know, like, you just go and meditate. Then the birds will not feel challenged by your presence. They will not feel threatened by your presence because sadhus are always in their own world. They go and meditate in the forest. They do their job. The animals continue to do their job. So the animals feel very comfortable with the sadhus. So therefore, when you are as a sadhu, when you will be pretending to meditate, that time the birds will come near you because they will no longer feel threatened by you. That time you just open your eye and you catch one bird and you bring them like this. So the king said, oh, good idea, good idea. So then he immediately wore on the robe of a Vaishnava. The king gave up his kingly attire and he wore the robe of a Vaishnava. He wore tilak, he wore all that. And then he went to the forest and he started meditating. When he started meditating, he had his eye half open so he could see what is happening. And he started noticing that these Kulinga birds, they started coming in front of him, very, very, you know, non-threatened by the king. So the king, you know, realized that the Kulinga bird actually came very near him, you know, right near his lap. And it was very easy for him to catch. So he immediately caught one of the birds. And when he caught one of the bird just looked up at the king. And the king started crying. Because the king started crying because he started thinking that the bird had so much faith in me that I will not harm the bird because it had faith in my external appearance as a sadhu. So when the bird had so much faith in me, I cannot destroy, you know, this faith of this bird by killing it and eating it for my own selfish purpose. So it is okay if I suffer for the rest of my life. It is okay, no problem. But I cannot kill this bird. So as soon as, you know, the king thought like this and said like this to the bird, the Kulinga bird started to speak. Now this is a very special thing, you know, birds generally never speak. But this Kulinga bird, it started speaking. And when it started speaking, it said to the king, my dear king, we are very happy with your attitude. That your attitude of saving us and letting me go is a very kind gesture on your part. So I will give you the way that you can actually get rid of this disease that you have. So go into the forest, continue on into the forest. Over there, you will see that there is one, you know, like a small kutir, like a little cottage. A straw hut is there. There one great yogi, sadhu, he stays over there. So he is a, you know, yogi who has been doing tapasya for many, 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 many thousands of years. So if you go to him and if you wash his lotus feet and if you drink the water from his lotus feet, then you will be saved from this disease. Your stomach disease will go away. You have to drink the water. So this king was extremely happy, extremely grateful to the bird. And then the king let the bird fly away, the Kulinga bird flew away. And then the king again went on to walk ahead following the instructions of the Kulinga bird, it went into the king started walking inside the forest. And then after some time, he saw that indeed there was this nice little kutir, and there was a yogi who was sitting on the veranda of the kutir. And then this king came and, you know, offered his obeisances to this yogi. And when he did so, the yogi blessed him, and the king said, "My dear Baba, Babaji Maharaj, I want to drink the water that has washed your lotus feet. So I request you to put down one of your lotus feet so I can wash it and drink the lotus, you know, drink the water coming from your lotus feet." So the yogi smiled and he put down one of his legs. As soon as he put down one of his legs, the king was shocked because the leg was actually diseased. It was diseased and it had so much of, you know, blood and pus all over that feet. And the king, you know, and there was so bad smell that that feet was having. It was unimaginable. As soon as the yogi actually put his leg down, that feet started giving such a bad smell. And, you know, the king could see that there is, you know, so much of, you know, boils and, you know, pus and blood in that feet. So then, you know, the king thought in his mind that, oh my, I cannot wash this feet and drink this water. No way I can do that. No way. It's okay, I can stay with this disease throughout my life, but I will not drink the water that has washed this feet. No way I can do that. So then, very hesitatingly, the king actually requested that, "My dear Babaji Maharaj, why don't you take out your other lotus feet? I'll wash that feet." So the yogi smiled, and then he brought down his other lotus feet. And that other lotus feet was more terrible because there were worms that were, you know, going around in those wounds of that lotus feet. They were little tiny, tiny worms. And it was, of course, it was as bad as the other, it was worse than the other feet. But now, the king could not possibly say, okay, now I'll go back to the other feet, you know, because he asked for the other one now. So he said, okay, what I'll do is let me just wash this feet. So he just washed, you know, with water, and he collected the water in a pot, and there was blood and pus and worms. So when he washed and the water collected, so all of that worms and the blood and the pus also came inside the water. So the yogi, you know, he went back to his meditation, and the king, he had this pot of water which was in his hands, and he said, "There's no way that I'm going to drink this. Oh no. It's impossible that I can drink this. But the Kulinga birds have said that, you know, I must do this, so I will honor what they have said. But I don't mind being diseased for the rest of my life, but I will not put this water in my mouth. So what I'll do, but I want to honor it. So therefore, let me just take the water and then I'll just put it on my head." So the king did that. The king just took the water from the lotus feet of that Vaishnava, from that yogi, and he just put it on his head. He sprinkled the water on his head. And when he did that, after giving up his life, that same king became Kaliya. And Srila Radharaman Maharaj explained that because he doubted the lotus feet water of this Vaishnava, he became this serpent, and of his end because of that envious nature. And it's very difficult to understand that how can this be an envious nature? It can just be a you thing, you know. Ew, you know, how can we drink this water? But again, if there is love, just like when a mother cleans the vomit or cleans the stool of her own child, she never thinks, ew, she doesn't think like that. Because there is love. Love surpasses
any of these ill things. You know, there is love. And the highest expression of love, you know, is in this material world, Srila Prabhupada said that it is between the mother and the child. That is the highest expression of love in this material world, of selfless love. But of course, nowadays, Srila Prabhupada also said that nowadays even that has become tainted. You know, the mother and love, a mother and son's love has also become tainted. But nonetheless, the selfless love, at least when the son is very, the child is very, very young, that time we can see the selfless love of the mother. You know, the mother does so much for the child, taking care of all the yucky things, you know, that comes out from the baby. It's not easy to do all of that. But the mother never at one point feels that, oh, you know, but when the child keeps passing stool, if they're, you know, having some kind of diarrhea or anything, the child keeps passing. But the mother never at one point thinks, ew, okay, I'm tired now, what's going on? But mother actually is in too much of anxiety that why is my baby going through this suffering? The mother is praying that let my child, you know, this misery of my child stop so that it is, you know, she doesn't for one moment think that I am being miserable to wash out and clean up after my baby. She never thinks like that. But she rather thinks that my baby is undergoing so much of tribulation, let me help my child. How can I help my child? That is love. So when there is no love, that is the absence of love becomes envy. So Maharaj is trying to explain that this, because of this nature, anyone who is envious by nature, they become serpents. So that was one of the reasons why this king became a serpent in his next life. And he became this Kaliya, the serpent. And because, you know, he placed the waters that had washed the lotus feet of this great Vaishnava upon his head, that is why Krishna actually placed his lotus feet upon the hoods of Kaliya. Because it was the same head that had the same waters that had washed the lotus feet of that Vaishnava. So imagine what would have happened if that king would have really drank the water that had washed the lotus feet. So that is why it is said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that there are teen Mahabal. Mahabal means there are three great weapons that we can counteract this material disease with. One is Bhakta Pada Raj, Bhakta Pada Jal, and Bhakta Uchishtha, which means the lotus dust, the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees, the water that has washed the lotus feet of the devotees, and the remnants of food that has been eaten and honored by a pure devotee of the Lord. These are the three, you know, greatest weapons by which we can counteract the material disease. So this is the glory of the lotus feet of the Vaishnava, that how much we should be aspiring to serve such lotus feet, because of which, you know, Kaliya became so fortunate that, you know, Kaliya didn't even ask for Krishna to place his lotus feet. He was envious of Krishna. He was biting and fighting with Krishna. But because in his previous life that he was the king who had placed the waters that had washed the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, Krishna offered his lotus feet to the hoods of Kaliya. That is the glory of Krishna. We see that, you know, Krishna, he never forgets. We may forget what we do even 1 hour before. But we see that Krishna, if we lovingly have ever called out to Krishna, you know, even once in our lifetime, Krishna will never forget us. That is Krishna's mercy. That is how compassionate the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is. And because of that reason, Krishna offered his lotus feet to Kaliya because of this Vaishnava. And the gopis are saying, so Krishna, Kaliya didn't even ask for such mercy, And you just gave him this mercy without even asking for it. And here we are begging you, Krishna, that please give us the, you know, prasad of your lotus feet. Put that lotus feet upon our chest. We are begging you. And that way we can, you know, counteract this pain, this disease that we are going through. And you become visible to our eyes, O Krishna. That is our prayer. That is our humble begging to you. So then we notice that this brings us to the conclusion of Sri Gopi Gita. And then in the next chapter, we see that how Krishna actually, you know, smiles, and he then comes in front of, he just manifests in front of them and says that, my dear gopis, I was actually here all the time. And I heard each and every word that you all said to me. I'm witness to all of that. I heard each and every prayer that you all were telling me, each and every tear that you, you know, let go in my separation. I am witness to each and every one of those. So therefore, I have appeared. I could not stay but not appear in front of you. So like this, Krishna makes his appearance, and then they continue on with their pastime. So Krishna and his mercy is always incomparable. It is, you know, Krishna does more for us than we can ever do for him. That is Krishna. So out of his causeless mercy, Krishna has given himself to us also. Of course, in the form of the holy name, Krishna has given himself. In the form of the association of the devotees, he has given himself. And Krishna has also given himself to us in the form of a month, of an entire month. Krishna has given to us himself. We see that Sri Purushottam Adhikamas is around the corner. It is starting on, in Houston at least, it is starting on the 15th of May, and it will go on till the 13th of June. It is actually from Amavasya to Amavasya, so you can see in your local calendars how the Amavasya falls. Some of the calendars mention a different date, but make sure that when you are seeing the calendar, don't see when the Purushottam Mass is starting. Start it on the day of Amavasya, and you end it on the day of Amavasya. That will be the last day. So Amavasya to Amavasya is Purushottam Adhikamas. And so during this month, you know, we all know the pastime that this month was known as Malamas or Adhikamas. Anything extra, we know how we treat extra things except for money. But anything extra in our life, we treat it as trash, as, you know, unnecessary things. So this month was extra month. It comes every 3 years. So when like this month was treated like this, this month was very depressed. And it came to Vaikuntha. The personification of the month is a lady, and she came to Vaikuntha in front of Lord Vishnu and told Lord Vishnu that, please help me. And I remember last time one devotee asked me, not on this call but on a Tuesday call, that is there any instance that Lord Narayan or Lord Vishnu has ever visited Krishna? And I'm so sorry that I forgot. At that time, my Kali Yuga memory did not serve me right, and I forgot this very important pastime where actually Lord Narayan then takes this this Malamas, this lady, he takes her to Goloka Vrindavan from Vaikuntha. Lord Narayan himself takes Malamas to Goloka Vrindavan to Krishna. And at that time when, you know, this Malamas sees Krishna, it is explained how Vishnu actually protects, because the effulgence of Goloka Vrindavan was coming so strongly and brightly, it was almost burning the Malamas. So Lord Vishnu actually stood in front of her so that, you know, she can stay in the cooling shade of Lord Vishnu. And then, you know, Lord Vishnu made her enter into Goloka Vrindavan. And when Lord Vishnu saw Krishna, Lord Vishnu offered his prostrated obeisances to Lord Krishna. And Krishna says, "Hey, Vishnu, how are you? What are you doing?" So then Lord Vishnu said, "Yes, my dear Lord Krishna, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Like this, Lord Vishnu actually glorifies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Adi Purusha. And he says that, "I have this Malamas with me. I brought this girl. She is an orphan. She doesn't have anyone, and I don't know what to do with her. Because I don't know what to do with her, I have brought her to you." Then Krishna smiles, and Krishna says that, "Okay, since you have brought her to me, I will definitely take care of her." And Krishna says that, "You are saying that you have no name, and there's nobody to take care of you. So I will give you my own name." So Krishna says that, "I am called as Purushottam. The greatest of all beings is called as Purushottam. Purusha Uttam. So I give you my name, which is Purushottam. You will be called as Purushottam from now on. And therefore, I choose to marry you also, because you say that there is no protector for you. I will become your protector. I give you my own name, my own identity. And because I'm giving you my own name, with my name comes all my qualities, my lila, everything, naam, gun, roop, lila, everything comes with me. So whatever I have, I am giving everything to you. So whoever does any spiritual activity in this month, you are actually more glorious than even Kartik. Kartik month is part of the 12 months, comes every year. But you, because you are special, you will not come every year. You will come every 3 years. And anyone who renders service during this month, it will be like they are rendering service to me directly. And in Kartik, any kind of spiritual activity has 1,000 times the benefit. And in this month, it is 3 times the benefit that you acquire in Kartik. So we can imagine how much, you know, with the calculation, how much more benefit we can get if we engage in devotional services in during this month of Purushottam. So it is explained that we must try to, you know, do this month as a very special opportunity that Krishna has given to us, that by rendering extra services, extra japa, extra reading, extra services that we can do at the temple that we are affiliated with, extra preaching seva, in the sense that, you know, even this lamp, we should offer lamps. And it is said that the 33rd month, you know, is this Purushottam Mass. So Krishna says that if you offer 33 lamps to Krishna, especially on an Ekadashi that falls during Purushottam Mass, it is very, very pleasing to Krishna. And Krishna himself has assured that anyone who does the Purushottam Adhikamas Vrata, they will go back home, back to Godhead, to Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna has specifically mentioned Goloka Vrindavan. So take this opportunity very, very seriously. We have this opportunity in front of us of Purushottam Adhikamas. I mean, we ourselves, we offer lamps to Krishna, ghee lamps to Krishna every day of our life. But, you know, one thing that we can do is make opportunity for others so that others can also render this service. So go out in, you know, in front of Indian stores or any other store and set up, the presiding deity of this month is Purushottam, Krishna, and his eternal consort, Srimati Radharani. So the presiding deities are Radha and Krishna in this month. So we offer lamp to Radha and Krishna while singing the Purushashtakam. And any ashtakam can be sung, especially songs that glorify Radha and Krishna. So it's especially recommended to sing the Chaurashtakam, which is the Purushashtakam that I said. And also devotees sing the Radha Kripa Kataksha or Radha Krishna Pranamora, anything, any bhajan that glorifies Radha and Krishna is recommended to be sung during this month. And so, you know, you can just make opportunities for having, you know, different home programs at new people's homes so they can invite everyone around them and, you know, make opportunities for people to engage in devotional service. So that is very, very special. And by doing this seva during this month, we can truly become very, very dear to Krishna. And then the true import of these verses that we read, you know, from Srimad Bhagavatam, these esoteric subject matters, will automatically reveal in our heart. You know, we will be able to really understand the mood in, you know, the way as it is that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to understand. By rendering these kind of services, we will really be able to, you know, grasp the actual mood of our acharyas and, you know, do services that are pleasing to Guru and Krishna. So with this, I will end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. If at this point there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. Wonderful lecture. Thank you, as usual. You explained so much of detail and the connection with the verse number 7 also was very good. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for wonderfully explaining about Gopi Gita and...
Yes.
I thought some other Mataji is also speaking.
Yeah, I can hear them feebly, but please go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I'm like very much inspired by hearing that... by putting the water on the head of the king, he got an opportunity to put Krishna's hand on his head. So this reminds me that thing that we should not see pure devotee by his bodily defect and all. So this was very inspiring. And also I was like longing for hearing the importance and pastime of Purushottam Adhik Mas. So, which you have already explained. So, thank you so very much, Mataji. And one more request on behalf of all of us. If you could sing this Vraje Prasidam, Navaneet Choram song.
Sure.
We will be very grateful to you.
I can sing only one verse because there's 8 verses. I can sing it and maybe I can just sing the first verse for now, but do you want the entire one?
If you have time, Mataji.
What I can do is I can sing it and I can post it in the group. I can give it to Shamagori Mataji and she can post it in the group. Yeah?
Sure, Mataji. Yeah. Thank you so very much. That would be very helpful. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna Mataji, this is Chaya from New Jersey. I just wanted to thank you for such a like nectar we've gotten from all the verses that you've spoken. And I finally caught up with all the ones that I missed. So it's absolute nectar, that's all I can say. And I also caught up with all your lectures from the Sri Sri Radha Kripa Kataksha. It was just amazing, just mind-blowing, and I told all my other devotee friends, you have to log on to this, you have to listen to Kalashuddha Mataji, so thank you so much.
I'm very grateful to you, very grateful to you, thank you, I'm really happy that I'm able to be of some service to you,
and
always a pleasure to hear from you, Chaya.
Yeah,
you
and really also. How you sang the Radha Kripa Kataksha. I was trying to find out where did you get that tune from. And then finally I found somebody. Beautiful. Just beautiful. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Rama Abhishta Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class, Mataji, as always. Mataji, for Purushottam Mass, what we need to do, the austerity, you were saying something, Mataji. Can you tell something more?
Sure. As I said, it is all about extra japa, you know, extra services that we can do in this month, because we anyways are chanting 16 rounds every day. We are anyways, you know, doing Mangalarti every day. We are doing all of the devotional practices ourselves. But if we can do extra ourselves, that is the main austerity. Whatever extra we can take some sankalpa that we can do, maybe like you can say, okay, 25 rounds every day or 20 rounds every day. Based on our situation, you can take some sankalpa. On the first day of the month, you can do a sankalpa. And the sankalpa doesn't have to be like, you know, with all this water or anything. It just come in front of your altar, in front of your deities, and you can just say that, Krishna, for this entire month, I want to do this for you. Please allow me to do this service so that I can please you and I can please all the Vaishnavas, and please bless me that I can, you know, do, complete this sankalpa. So that is one way to start. And many devotees also do the austerity of doing some, you know, in terms of their eating. They eat once a day, you know, they eat grains only once a day. Like one meal a day only. So they, during the other times, they just take fruits or something. And sometimes some devotees also do, like, they eat only boiled food, you know, like havishya, which is called as havishya. So they don't take any masala or, you know, any oil or anything like that, just plain boiled, you know, things. For just 1 month, for only once a day, that too, they eat like that. So they do that austerity as well. And the other thing, the most important thing that to be done in this month is that create opportunities so that, you know, we have ourselves been blessed with the great fortune of Krishna consciousness. So let us try to make, as much as possible, let us try to make others more fortunate in this month, because that is what pleases Krishna the most, when we try to give Krishna's message to others. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, that if you want to become dear to me, give my knowledge to others, then they are the most dear to me. So if you want to really please Krishna, please our spiritual masters, then we must try to make opportunities where, you know, every day we are going out to different either homes or at different avenues, and, you know, just stand in front, take, especially in front of Indian stores, it's very easy. You can just make little prasadam, you know, like halwa or something, take a small picture of Radha and Krishna, take some of these ghee-wicks, and anyone passing by, ask them to just offer a lamp. That is the greatest way to, you know, make others fortunate, by just asking them to offer a lamp of love to Radha and Krishna in this Purushottam Mass. So that is what we do in Houston also. Every day of the month, we go out to different homes. And, you know, during the weekend, actually Saturdays and Sundays, we have programs which are like maybe 3, 4, 5 programs back-to-back that we do in different homes. And on weekdays, it is one program at least that we have every day of the month. So, you know, like this, we can try to do something which is extra in this month in terms of devotional service, in terms of our preaching service to Guru and Krishna. So try to make others fortunate. That is most pleasing to Guru and Krishna. I hope this helps.
Yes, Mataji, thank you very much. Very, very much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanatmala Prabhupada ki jai. Sorry Mataji, please go ahead. Komodi ki Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Kalasana Mataji. Very nice nectarian. Pastimes and katha, you have said. It's very, very wonderful. And also the explaining about the Purushottam Mass. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Jai. Thank you, Komodi ki Mataji. Hare Krishna. हरे कृष्ण माता जी दैनिक प्रणाम श्रीला प्रभुपाद की जय गुरु महाराज की जय माता जी यू नो व्हेन गोपी वर आस्किंग फॉर मर्सी लाइक यू नो दे वर सेइंग यू पुट योर लोटस फीट ऑन द कालिया एंड श्री लक्ष्मी जी इज ऑलवेज ऑलवेज टेकिंग केयर ऑफ योर लोटस फीट. And you are giving mercy, you know, she got fortunate and all. So that time, Gopi didn't know, like, how Gopi is feeling toward Krishna, because I know that she didn't feel like he is God, but what kind of feeling, Mataji, can you explain more?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
You know, Mataji, Gopi ko aisa feel nahi tha ki Krishna God hai, Bhagwan hai. Par unko wo pata tha ki ye mercy unko mil rahi hai, jaise Lakshmi ji ko mili, Kaliya ko mili, aise wo gina rahi. हाँ तो वो जैसे डिवोटी है तो डिवोटी को कंपेयर नहीं कर सकते कृष्णा को, पर जैसे डिवोटी है तो मैं बोलती हूँ कि माता जी आप मुझे मर्सी दो, वैसे गोपी का क्या फीलिंग था, क्योंकि वो तो उनको तो पता था कि कृष्णा भगवान नहीं, वो भगवान की तरह वो थे ही नहीं फीलिंग्स, तो गोपी का क्या फीलिंग था.
Okay. Thank you. Abhima samajh gayi. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. Very nice question. Actually, gopis ko pata hai ki Krishna Bhagwan hai. Gopis know that Krishna is God. They know it very well. All the Brajavasis know that Krishna is God. But their fact of knowing that Krishna is God is much less than their love for him. They don't care if Krishna is God. Even if Krishna would not have been God, then also their love for Krishna would not have been dependent on the fact that he is God. That is how, you know, or the level of love that the gopis have for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains this. Ye Prabhupada explain karte hain ek udaharan deke ki jab president ki ma, you know, ek कोई भी स्टेट का प्रेसिडेंट ले लीजिए, कंट्री का प्रेसिडेंट, प्रेसिडेंट की माँ को पता है कि मेरा बेटा प्रेसिडेंट है, पर अगर उसका बेटा कुछ भी गलती करता है तो उसकी माँ उसको फिर भी डांटती है. द मदर विल स्टिल चैस्टाइज द प्रेसिडेंट इवन इफ ही इज द प्रेसिडेंट, बट द फैक्ट दैट द मदर नोज दैट नो दिस इज माई चाइल्ड फर्स्ट. She doesn't come in front of the president and say, oh, Mr. President, your food is ready, please come and eat. She will not talk like that to the president. She will say, oh, my dear son, come. Dinner's on the table, come, eat. Like that. The wife of the president doesn't talk to him like Mr. President. She is very, very free. Her love for the president is more than what, I mean, sorry, is less in compared to what she feels for her husband. So in the same, Krishna's love for the gopis or the gopis' love for Krishna is not dependent on the fact that he is God. The gopis know very well that Krishna is God. They know it. Lekin unka ye janna ye mahatvapurna nahi hai. Kyunki unka jo prem hai, ये इस फैक्ट से कहीं ज्यादा है. एंड बिकॉज देयर लव इज सो हाई, देयर लव इज सो मच इन अ डिफरेंट लेवल ऑल टूगेदर दैट योगा माया एक्चुअली कवर्स. सी, आई हैड एक्सप्लेन दिस वन टाइम बिफोर ऑल्सो, that the living entities, you know, are of two kinds, right? There is Nitya Badhas, like us, eternally conditioned, and there is Nitya Siddhas, like the Brajbasis and the Gopis. So Nitya Siddhas and Nitya Badhas are both under Maya. The Nitya Badhas, us, we are under the influence of Mahamaya. We forget Krishna out of envy. We have forgotten Krishna, the supremacy of Krishna, out of envy. So we are under Mahamaya, under Durga Devi. The Brajvasis and the eternally liberated souls, they are actually under Yoga Maya. They have forgotten the supremacy of Krishna because of their unparalleled love for Krishna. That is the difference. So they know that Krishna is the supreme, but they have forgotten that at that moment. When they are in service to Krishna, when they are, you know, coming, when Yashoda Maya is coming and chastising Krishna, that time she forgets that her Lala is the supreme personality of Godhead. She doesn't care because her love is so great. So that is the difference. I hope aapko samajh mein aaya.
Yeah, Mataji, very wonderful. You know, it inspires to love Krishna like that because you know this and in this Yoga Maya, devotee serves to please Krishna, and they know that Krishna enjoy this, and Krishna is loving them back, and it's a very loving relationship, very wonderful and inspiring.
Very true. Thank you for the nice question, Mataji. Bahut badhiya. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol.
Mataji, ek aur baat hai. Can I ask?
Hanji, please. Please.
Mataji, you know, always you, whenever anyone requests you for something, you always trying to serve, and you always, like, first sentence from your mouth, it's, how can I serve you? And you are trying to serve that person. And so how can you get that attitude, Mataji?
Well, you can get that attitude by simply saying it. I am just talking like a parrot. I'm not talking like with realization, but one day I hope that by talking like a parrot that it will become a realization, you know. So dil se aayega ki yes, how can I serve you? So, isiliye Srila Prabhupada has said that even if you cannot cry for Krishna, cry that you are not able to cry for Krishna. If you are not able to do that, then cry that you are not able to cry for Krishna. So, like this, that even Srila Prabhupada said that if you are not able to get the humility to, you know, do some service, be shameful that you are not able to get that humility. Then you will get the humility. So, you know, when we are trying to be humble. Try. Keep trying. Keep trying to repeat it like a parrot. I am at that stage that I'm just, you know, practicing in that way to keep saying, okay, please tell me how can I serve you? How can I serve you? So ye kehte, 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 ek din to dil se aayega, how can I serve you? So I'm aspiring for that. So hopefully when we try, we can achieve.
Thank you so much, Mataji. You know, now I know what is the association of devotee by answer. Like, get answer for this question. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you. Aap bahut special hain, Sheetal Mataji. You are very, very special soul. And I really thank you for your beautiful question. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Any more questions? Any more questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you for this wonderful class. It was really, really very enlightening. Mataji, I have something to share, which I just felt, and yes. I would like to share it with all my other God sisters and my loving peers. When you said that we are, you know, in the beginning you had said that we had the Rupanugas, and we have been, you know, it was always there that, yes, we are Rupanugas and we are trying to aspire to be Rupanugas. But when you said we are Prabhupadanugas, that almost gave me goosebumps because it made me feel so closely connected to Srila Prabhupada. Just by, you know, just by you saying that enlightened me to think that the closest connection to Srila Prabhupada is through his books, through his lectures, through the association of devotees. And what more can we ask for? Thank you very much, Mataji, for this realization. Unbelievable. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. May I know your name, please, Mataji?
My name is Ananda Viharini.
Hare Krishna. Jai. Thank you.
Made me feel as though I was in Vrindavan. Hare Krishna, Mataji. I've been listening to your lectures, but to listen to you in person is unbelievable. Thank you very, very much.
There you go. It's very nice to have your Vani association too. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Dandavat pranam.
Dandavat. Any more questions?
If there is no any more question, can you please Radha Kripa Kataks or Gopi Gita, whatever your choice.
How about we do one of
yes,
because
yes,
I have a request of Chaurashtakam and also Gopi Gita and Radha Kripa Kataks. So we'll do one of each. Okay?
Yes, Mataji, I was about to say that. Thank you. Yes.
I'm sorry we are going very late today, but okay. Here is Chaurashtakam. Braje prasiddham navanita chauram gopanganam chadukula chauram aneka janmas jitapapa chauram Chauragraganyam purusham namami Sri Radhikaya hridayasya chauram Navambudasya malakanti chauram Padashritanam chasamasya chauram Chauragraganyam So this is Chaurashtakam. It's a very intoxicating Ashtakam, you know. It's very, very special. It's glorifying Krishna as the crest jewel of all the thieves. You know, Chaurashtakam means Krishna, who is the transcendental thief. So it's very, very nectarian. It's very, 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 very sweet. Very sweet. So this is especially recommended to be sung every day in the the Purushottam month, and while offering lamp to Radha and Krishna. So this is Purushashtakam. I'll sing Gopi Geet now. Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam kavi firiritam
ಸಂ ಭುವಿ ಗೃಹಂತಿ ಭೂರಿ ಸೊ ನಾವ್ ವಿಲ್ ಸಿಂಗ್ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಕೃಪಾ ಕಟಾಕ್ಷ ಸಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ವರ್ಸ್ ಐ ಹೋಪ್ ಐ ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ದ ಲಿರಿಕ್ಸ್ ಓಕೆ ಮುನೀಂದ್ರ ವೃಂದ ವಂದಿತೆ ತ್ರಿಲೋಕ ಶೋಕ ಪ್ರಸನ್ನ ವಾತ್ರ ಪಂಕಜೆ ನಿಕುಂಜ ಭೂ ವಿಲಾಸಿನಿ ಬ್ರಜೇಂದ್ರ ಭಾನು ನಂದಿನಿ ಬ್ರಜೇಂದ್ರ ಶೂನು ಸಂಗತಿ ಕದಾ ಕರಿಷ್ಯ ಸಿಂಹ ಮಾಂ ಕೃಪಾ ಕಟಾಕ್ಷ ಭಾಜನು ಅಶೋಕ ವೃಕ್ಷ ವಲ್ಲರೀ ವಿತಾನಮಂದ ಪಸ್ಥಿತೆ ಪ್ರವಾಲವಾನ ಪಲ್ಲವಾ ಪ್ರಭಾ ಋಣಾಂಗ್ರಿ ಕೋಮಲೆ ವರ ಭಯ ಸ್ಫುರತ್ಕರೆ ಪ್ರಭೂತ ಸಂಪದಾಮಲೆ ಕದಾ ಕರಿಷ್ಯ ಸಿಂಹ ಮಾಂ ಕೃಪಾ ಕಟಾಕ್ಷ ಭಾಜನಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಮತಿ ರಾಧಾ ಠಾಕುರಾಣಿ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ
Thank you very much, Mataji, for wonderful songs. Now, after hearing you, my desire to see you face-to-face has increased.
Hare Krishna. You have a home here in Houston, so please come so we can get an opportunity to serve you.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare, Hare. Okay, so, Shamagori Mataji.
Thank you very much, Mataji, and I have a humble request to you that if you could post these songs on the group so we can hear every day in the Purushottama.
Sure, I will send it to you and you can post it.
Yes, Mataji, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, we went here. Let's pay our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas. Vanchakal Patarupesha Kripasindhu
Devaya. Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavibhyo Namah.